Blessings of the Triple Gem, Theruwan Sadanai. Today's Dhamma session, we kick off our series on profitable perceptions, and it's based on the Buddhist teaching in the Duttiya Sanya Sutta, Anguttara Nikaya, Chapter 7, Discourse Number 49, and also the abbreviated text on lust or greed, Raga Payala, at the end of Anguttara Nikaya, Chapter 7. We can begin by paying homage to the Triple Gem. We can bow our heads in Anjali. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dhamma, and homage to the Noble Sangha. This first session is an introduction and provides some context as to why it's fruitful and beneficial to develop and cultivate this set of seven profitable perceptions, particularly how to help us to gain direct knowledge of lust or greed. We will then examine in seven separate sessions each of the profitable perceptions, and this is to clarify the Buddha's instructions and their meaning, and to understand what each of the perceptions overcome, and how to develop each one, referencing other teachings of the Buddha where needed. After going through all seven profitable perceptions individually, the last session in this series will consolidate them, so we can contemplate all seven profitable perceptions as a single meditation or insight pathway. It's very helpful to contemplate these seven perceptions prior to activating and developing the bhujangas, or factors of enlightenment, as they help us to overcome sick perceptions that block the mind, making it easier to develop the bhujangas. It's also appropriate to mention that as we develop these profitable perceptions and cultivate them frequently, similar to how the Buddha encourages us to apply yoniso manasikara, or wise contemplation, we can expect to develop more insight into them. The wisdom that arises is deeper, more penetrative, and connects with other teachings of the Buddha. In time, our inclination towards greed and also hatred and delusion diminishes, and we more strongly incline towards the Noble Eightfold Path, and the other Bodhipakya Dhammas start to develop as well. So let's start with what the Buddha says about greed. In the Lobha Sutta, so this is Itivuttaka Discourse Number 1, this was said by the Blessed One, said by the Arahant, so I heard. Abandon one thing, bhikkhus, and I guarantee you non-returning. What is that one thing? Greed is that one thing, bhikkhus. Abandon that, and I guarantee you non-returning. This is the meaning of what the Lord said. So in regard to this, it was said, beings coveting with greed go to rebirth in a bad born. But having rightly understood greed, those with insight abandon it. By abandoning it, they never come back to this world again. So by developing and cultivating certain things, which we will see, we can gain direct knowledge of greed. And by doing so, that is how we're able to abandon greed. So these seven perceptions, which we're going to go through in this Duttiya Sanya Sutta, are one of those sets of things. And as the Buddha has said, if we abandon greed, then he guarantees non-returning. Basically, one can realize path and fruit of non-return, in Pali, anagami. So it's not a small thing. And then in the Lobha Parinya Sutta, this is Itivuttaka Discourse Number 9, this was said by the Blessed One, said by the Arahant, so I heard. Bhikkhus, one who has not directly known and fully understood greed, who has not detached his mind from it and abandoned it, is incapable of destroying suffering. But one who has directly known and fully understood greed, and one who has detached his mind from it and abandoned it, is capable of destroying suffering. So the Buddha confirms the importance of directly knowing and understanding greed. If we don't do so, we're incapable of destroying suffering. The reference here, the deeper reference here, is to dependent origination. Because if we still have craving, then we always kick off dependent origination. And what results would be coming back into existence, being subject to birth. And then with birth, we're subject to aging and death. And so there's this whole mass of suffering. And so that's what it means. If we don't give up greed, we're incapable of destroying suffering. And as we know, the Buddha's path is all about the arising and passing away of suffering. So the Buddha elaborated by saying, humankind is possessed by greed, bound by greed, and delighted with being. not fully understanding greed, then come again to renewal of being. So in this context, being also means existence. But those who have abandoned greed and who by destroying greed are freed, having conquered the bondage of greed and overcome all suffering. So it's very clearly stated by the Buddha, if we don't abandon greed, then what it means is that we're imbued with it. We take delight, we welcome, and we remain holding to it. So this means we haven't understood the danger, and therefore we don't understand why we have to abandon greed. And so we continuously kick off dependent origination. We're still bound to samsara and this whole mass of suffering. Now, within Anguttara Nikaya or the numerical discourses, as we said, there's a number of abbreviated texts on lust or greed. So the Buddha would have used certain context, and we'll see this as we go through it, in order to help us to understand why it's really important to cultivate a certain set of perceptions or even the bodhisattvas or certain insight pathways to help us very quickly penetrate through. And so for this series, we're referring to this Raga Payala, these abbreviated texts. And they're actually from Anguttara Nikaya, chapter 7, discourse number 615, all the way to 1124. And what is presented on this particular slide are three sets of seven things that are to be developed for the direct knowledge of lust or greed, and also all these other things that the Buddha has abbreviated. So the first set are the seven factors of enlightenment. The second set are a set of seven profitable perceptions. And the third set are another set of seven profitable perceptions. And so I'll just read that out. Because for the direct knowledge of lust, seven things are to be developed. What seven? The enlightenment factor of mindfulness, the enlightenment factor of discrimination of phenomena. So we also know this as investigation of Dhamma. The enlightenment factor of energy, the enlightenment factor of rapture, the enlightenment factor of tranquility, the enlightenment factor of concentration, and the enlightenment factor of equanimity. For direct knowledge of lust, these seven things are to be developed. And then the second part is, because for direct knowledge of lust, seven things are to be developed. What seven? The perception of impermanence, the perception of not self, the perception of unattractiveness, the perception of danger, the perception of abandoning, the perception of dispassion, the perception of cessation. For direct knowledge of lust, these seven things are to be developed. And the final set is, because for direct knowledge of lust, seven things are to be developed. What seven? The perception of unattractiveness, the perception of death, the perception of repulsiveness of food, the perception of non-delight in the entire world, the perception of impermanence, the perception of suffering in the impermanent, and the perception of not self in what is suffering. For direct knowledge of lust, these seven things are to be developed. And then it continues, and it's not on this slide, but it continues by saying, bhikkhus, for direct knowledge, for full understanding, for the utter destruction, for the abandoning, for the destruction, for the vanishing, for the fading away, for the cessation, for the giving up, for the relinquishment of hatred, of delusion, of anger, of hostility, of derogation, of disparaging, of envy, of stinginess, of hypocrisy, of fraud, of obstinacy, of competition, of conceit, of arrogance, of vanity or intoxication, of negligence. These seven things are to be developed. This is what the Blessed One said, elated, those bhikkhus delighted in the Blessed One's statement. Now, what we can see from that statement of the Buddha or the passages is the importance of developing each set of seven things. They're powerful insight pathways that shouldn't be taken lightly because they enable us to gain knowledge, wisdom, understanding, to overcome and relinquish greed, hatred, and delusion, and what is rooted in those things. So, as with anything we learn from the Buddha, it's important to contemplate and develop them as the Buddha has taught. So, in this case, it means a set of seven things. And in this way, the full benefit can be developed to fulfillment over time. Now, we've already begun to learn how to develop the first set, which is the seven factors of enlightenment in our Bodhanga series, as well as applying that in our third doorway to Nibbana. And the second set of perceptions is familiar to some if you've looked at the Girimananda Sutta. So Girimananda Sutta has a set of 10 perceptions. So seven of those 10 are in this particular sequence. And for this particular profitable perception series, we're looking at the third set. And this is what we link to the Dutiyasanya Sutta, because that is the Buddha's more lengthy explanation of them, and that's what we're focusing on. So let's now refer to the main teaching of the Buddha to help us to develop this set of seven perceptions. And the Dutiyasanya Sutta says, because these seven perceptions, when developed and cultivated, are of great fruit and benefit, culminating in the deathless, having deathless as their consummation, what seven? So the perception of unattractiveness, the perception of death, the perception of the repulsiveness of food, the perception of non-delight in the entire world, the perception of impermanence, the perception of suffering in the impermanent, and the perception of not self or not me and mine in what is suffering. These seven perceptions, when developed and cultivated, are of great fruit and benefit, culminating in the deathless, having deathless as their consummation. So, deathless, as we know, is a synonym for nibbana. What this means is rebirth is ended, no more kicking off of dependent origination, no more, because there's no more craving, no more making kamma. That means there's no coming to exist, therefore, no aging and death, and no more suffering. So, if we can develop these perceptions really well by going through this sutta, practicing it, developing it to fulfillment, we can overcome lust or greed. And this means we have the ability to realize nibbana, the complete cessation of suffering. Now, I just wanted to include here that we are actually familiar with five out of the seven profitable perceptions. So the first five, because we've come across them when we've practiced the Buddha's instructions in painful practices with slow and quick realization in the Asubha Sutta. So, Anguttara Nikaya, Chapter 4, Discourse Number 163. So, you know that as the first doorway to Nibbana and the second doorway to Nibbana. And we kick that off with either Dukkha Paripada Dandabinya or Dukkha Paripada Kipabinya. And the Buddha encourages us to develop those five profitable perceptions. Now, in this Gilana Sutta that we have on this slide, this comes from Anguttara Nikaya, Chapter 5, Discourse Number 121. The Buddha encouraged the development of these same five perceptions for sick monastics. So, one of the fruits and benefits is to overcome illness. Now, the Buddha says in this sutta, on one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Vesali in the hall with the peaked roof in the great wood. Then, in the evening, the Blessed One emerged from seclusion and approached the infirmary where he saw a certain bhikkhu who was frail and sick. He then sat down in the prepared seat and addressed the bhikkhus. Because if five things do not slip away from a frail and sick bhikkhu, it can be expected of him. In no long time, with the destruction of the taints, he will realize for himself, with direct knowledge, in this very life, the taintless liberation of mind, liberation by wisdom, and having entered upon it, he will dwell in it. What five? Here, a bhikkhu dwells, contemplating the unattractiveness of the body, perceiving the repulsiveness of food, perceiving non-delight in the entire world, contemplating impermanence in all conditioned phenomena, and here's the perception of death well established internally. And so, if these five things do not slip away from a frail and sick bhikkhu, it can be expected of him in no long time with the destruction of the taints, he will realize for himself with direct knowledge in this very life the taintless liberation of mind, liberation by wisdom, and having entered upon it, he will dwell in it. So again, we are encouraged here because even when one is frail and sick, if one develops these five out of the seven perceptions, these profitable perceptions, it can lead to the deathless and culminate in the deathless. It's a very wholesome and wonderful thing, very powerful as well. Now, in this Dutiyasanya Sutta, having understood the context now, we can see when we go through this sutta, which we'll do in subsequent sessions. So don't worry if we don't fully understand at this juncture all these things that the Buddha's about to refer to. But Buddha gives us the reasons why each profitable perception is of great fruit and benefit, culminating in the deathless, having deathless as their consummation. This is a very good sutta because Buddha actually goes into a little bit more, and we can join it up with other suttas as well to help us to understand the meaning as well as how to practice these things. So, what the Buddha says about the perception of unattractiveness is that one's mind shrinks away from sexual intercourse. In terms of perception of death, one's mind shrinks away from attachment to life. When it comes to the perception of repulsiveness of food, one's mind shrinks away from craving for taste. And when it comes to perception of non-delight in the entire world, one's mind shrinks away from the world's beautiful thing. In terms of the perception of impermanence, one's mind shrinks away from gain, honor, and praise. In terms of perception of not-self in what is suffering, or not me and mine in what is suffering, one's mind is devoid of I-making, so ahankara, my-making or mind-making, mamankara, and also conceit, mana. And then when it comes to perception of suffering in the impermanent, one develops a keen perception of danger towards indolence. So also very, very important. Now, when we look at these profitable perception, what becomes evident to us is that our usual tendency is not with these perceptions. And so when you think of it that way, we're always leaning towards greed, leaning towards lust. And instead, we tend towards unprofitable perceptions. So these are the ones that pervade our mind rather than these profitable ones. So when this is the case, we can turn it around. Because we don't cultivate the perception of unattractiveness, our mind does not shrink away from sexual intercourse. Because we don't cultivate the perception of death, our mind does not shrink away from attachment to life. Because we don't cultivate the perception of repulsiveness of food, our mind does not shrink away from craving for taste. And because we don't cultivate the perception of non-delight in the entire world, our mind does not shrink away from the world's beautiful things. And because we don't cultivate the perception of impermanence, our mind does not shrink away from gain, honor, and praise. Because we don't cultivate the perception of not-self or not me and mine in what is suffering, our mind is not devoid of I-making, my or mind-making, and conceit. And because we don't cultivate the perception of suffering in the impermanent, our mind does not develop a keen perception of danger towards indolence. So when you look at the world, you can see the world is very much like this. So if we start to cultivate in our meditation these profitable perceptions, it can be very good for us, because at some point it goes over into daily life. It starts to manifest. So these are the things we need to cultivate in meditation. That's one very important thing to say, not to try and do things in daily life, but to actually cultivate them during formal meditation time and to start to see some of the fruit and benefits. Because at any other point in our day, we're not doing that. So our tendency would be towards lust or greed, and hanging around with other people who are imbued with that, well, that's the recipe for life. So as per the Buddha's teaching in the Samadhi Bhavana Sutta, this is Sanyutta Nikaya chapter 22, discourse number 5. So we frequently practice this a lot. If we have attachment or craving in any of these ways, what we do is we take delight, we welcome or express it, and we remain holding. So in Pali, we know this as abhinandati, abhivadati, ajosayatitati. So when there's craving, then there's delight. If there's delight, that becomes the condition for clinging. If there's clinging, that's the condition for existence. And if there's existence, then there's the condition for birth. So rebirth is not ended. And we know that birth is the condition for aging and death, and we remain bound to this whole mass of suffering. So this is dependent origination kicking off. So we can see how fruitful and beneficial it can be to develop these sets of seven profitable perceptions, because when we overcome lust or greed, we overcome the attachment. Therefore, we say, nabhinandati, nabhivadati, najosayatititi. We don't take delight, we don't welcome, we don't remain holding. And so we actually cut off delight, we cut off clinging, we cut off wanting to come into existence, we cut off birth, and therefore we cut off aging and death and this whole mess of suffering. So it's very beneficial, because when we deepen our understanding of these, in this case, these seven perceptions, profitable perceptions, then we start to see how we get caught in sick perceptions. And as we saw from the third doorway to Nibbana, it's sick perceptions that really start to kick off wrong views. And so it keeps us bound to samsara. So we've now come to the end of this introductory session on profitable perceptions. What will follow is looking at each one individually and then rounding it off with putting them all together as one meditation. So let's share the merit with all sentient beings. May all beings be happy and well. May all beings be free from suffering. Blessings of the Triple Gem to all of you. Wishing you well. Theruvan Saranai.